I hope you brought something tonight to give thanks for. For the Bible is full of thanksgiving from one end to the other. And Psalm 136 is just one example, and this isn't even the whole psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him alone who does great wonders, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who made the heavens with skill, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who spreads out the earth above the waters, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who made the great lights, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule by day, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn, for His loving kindness is everlasting, and brought Israel out from their midst, for His loving kindness is everlasting. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Amen. Amen. We've had an opportunity in the last few weeks to think about what God's done over 2015. And there certainly are a lot of things that the Lord has done. So we want to give you an opportunity tonight to, you know, can stand where you are or can just be seated where you are, but we want to give you an opportunity to just share maybe some of those things that the Lord's done that you're thankful for. Great, that's a great thing, you know. And as I said, this is a, this, I don't think you realize how unique you are, but you're unique in many ways. And the closeness, you know, and the fellowship is a big part of this body here. I think it's not you don't find it everywhere. You don't find it everywhere. You really don't. Well, we have another song, so if you'd like to stand for that, it's called "I Thank You, Lord." It's a new song, and so we're going to go through that. I come before You today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for all You've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. With a grateful heart and a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless Your name. Thank You, Lord. I just want to thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I just want to thank You, Lord, for all You've done in my life. You took my darkness and gave me Your light. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. With a grateful heart and a thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. As you can see, it's a new one. So, well, you may be seated. Well, Thanksgiving Day is almost here. It's a day to show thankfulness for what we've received or what we've experienced in this past year. But honestly, sometimes when we get to this point in the year, we don't feel very thankful, or we don't feel like there's much that we can be thankful for at Thanksgiving. And maybe 2015 has been not a good year for you or for me or for some folks. Maybe for us it hasn't been a good year. Maybe we faced some big disappointments this year. Or it could be that maybe this year was filled with a lot of problems or even a great loss. And those difficulties and hardships sometimes make it hard to celebrate at Thanksgiving. If we find ourselves in a less than thankful mood this year, we might want to take a moment and consider that little dog from the Peanuts comic strip, Snoopy. Snoopy is a wise little dog, and he many times has bits of wisdom for us. And one Thanksgiving episode of that comic strip back a few years ago began with a picture of Snoopy getting his own Thanksgiving dinner. Charlie Brown is outside with Snoopy, and he has just filled his dish with food. Snoopy can see through the window of the house, and he sees the great feast that's going on inside the house. Everyone else is enjoying turkey and ham, stuffing and sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes and gravy, hot rolls and butter, and on and on and on. And there's poor Snoopy sitting by his doghouse with a dish of cold dog food. And he does what we do sometimes when we're comparing our lives with other people's lives. He begins talking to himself about his less than perfect life. He says, "How about that? Everyone else is eating turkey and lots of other great stuff. But just because I'm a dog, all I get is dog food." He just stares at his dish, and disgusted, he goes up and lays down on top of his doghouse. Staring up at the sky, he begins to think. He begins to meditate. And finally, he concludes, "Well, things could be worse. Yeah, they could be much worse. I could have been born a turkey." Like Snoopy, it's true that we always have something to give thanks to God for. Because if you think about it, we could have all been born turkeys. So it's important to think about that first Thanksgiving whenever we come to celebrate this holiday. Because for that first group of Americans who celebrated this holiday, the Pilgrims, for them, things not only could get worse, they did in fact get much worse long before they got any better for them. As we think of the Pilgrims, we recall the reason why they left a comfortable life in Europe and risked coming to this wild, unsettled, and sometimes hostile new world. Those early Pilgrims were separatists. What that means is they separated themselves from the Church of England. They didn't like what they saw in the Church of England. They didn't like what they saw in the people, the way they were being taught the Bible in the Church of England. They didn't think the church was really following God, and so they separated themselves from the church. But at that time, they were not allowed by the laws of the kingdom to worship God freely. Because they wanted to worship God in a different way, they were jailed, they were persecuted, they were tortured, and they were even executed. We forget that sometimes. So they fled England and went to the Netherlands, to Holland. But in Holland, they didn't really find a home either, because it was a foreign country to them. And so a group of them decided to set sail for the New World in August of 1620. They boarded two small ships. One was called the Speedwell, and the other was called the Mayflower. And they began their journey across the North Atlantic, searching for religious freedom and a new home in this unexplored land that was America. And they had barely begun their voyage when they discovered that one of their ships, the Speedwell, was in danger of sinking. It had sprung leaks, and it had to turn around and go back to England. Most of the crew and the passengers transferred to the Mayflower. They continued their voyage, and they soon ran into stormy weather and rough seas in the North Atlantic. They sailed for 67 days across the North Atlantic. And all that time, they were thought they were headed to Virginia, to the southern part of the United States. Imagine their surprise when they found out that they actually had come to Massachusetts, to Cape Cod. They were blown north, off course. They went ashore in Plymouth Bay in November 1620. But of course, being further north, that meant that they were facing much colder weather. Now, they might have thought that the voyage was bad enough, and then landing in the wrong place, that was bad too. But the truth of the matter was that their troubles were only just beginning. It was November, and this was New England, and winter was starting. There was no housing awaiting them when they landed. There was no reception party of friendly natives. There were no doctors. There were no medicines. There were no stores. There were no stockpiles of food. And a long, cold winter lay ahead of them. And for many of them, that long, cold winter would mean sickness and death. At one point, in the first 4 months that they were at Plymouth Colony, in the first 4 months, they'd only been here for 4 months, there were only 6 people who were healthy enough to take care of the other 102 that had sailed. Only 6. By March of 1621, not even 1 year after their arriving, half of them were dead from disease. And it would be still another 2 years before any more ships arrived from England carrying food and supplies to help. They were forced to find whatever food and whatever shelter they could in the surrounding countryside and forests. But in the mercy of God, God provided some guides for them among the Native Americans. These local tribes taught the pilgrims how to plant corn, how to fish the waters, how to hunt for game, how to live off the land without any of the comforts of England. Eventually, the pilgrims were able to find shelters and then build farms. And then they cleared the land and they sowed the fields. And God blessed their plantings and their harvests. They were able to fill storehouses with corn and other foods. At the end of that first harvest, they decided to hold a feast of thanksgiving. It was a celebration, a time to thank God for their survival and for their newfound home and their newfound freedom to worship. They invited the Native American friends to come and join them in the celebration, and 90 of those, the tribe there, the Massachusetts tribe, came to that first Thanksgiving. And they stayed for 3 days. They didn't just have Thanksgiving for one day. They stayed and ate for 3 days. They must really have enjoyed themselves in the feasting and the merrymaking. Of course, the most important thing to remember about the pilgrims is that these people were willing to pay an enormous price for the freedom to worship, for the freedom to worship their God as they were guided by the Scriptures, by the Bible. Even with all of the hardships and losses they faced in those first years, they were profoundly grateful to God. In the unsettled lands of America, there was no established church that harassed them. There was no king or government officials restricting them or torturing them. No one ridiculed them. They were free to worship God and build their future. And they did just that. On Thanksgiving Day, while we are thankful for the incredible material blessings of God, the ones that God has poured out upon this nation, unlike, I would say, any other nation in history, we are most thankful, really, for the freedoms that we enjoy. That freedom to worship God, to live our lives as we are led by God's Word and by His Spirit. That is truly the greatest blessing left to us by the pilgrims. It's important for us, for those of us who are in smaller churches. We saw a different sized church this week on Sunday. We saw it's a little bit bigger than this one, you know. But those of us who are in smaller churches and congregations, we always need to remember something. We need to remember what great things God can accomplish from small groups. Remember, there was no guarantee that this little group of 120 would even succeed where others had failed. Other colonies had been started in the American continent before them, and they soon disappeared. But because these people kept faith with God and kept faith with one another, because of that, they endured and they prospered. And we thank God for them today. We thank God for all those who keep faith with Him and keep faith with one another. If the pilgrims of 1620 could look down today on the United States of America, there's no doubt that they would be astonished at what has become of their humble beginning, their humble start. They would certainly be thankful to God for how He took their feeble efforts and their personal sacrifices, and with those very precious things, how He built a mighty nation on this continent. You know, we owe a debt of gratitude to all those people who have gone before us. I don't mean just the pilgrims of Plymouth Bay, but to all those other pilgrims who have gone before us. Those people who built this church, for instance, and laid the foundation by their labor, by their prayers, and by their gifts. Because they were willing to sacrifice, because they were willing to follow wherever God led, because of that, we are blessed today. The great truth of life is that we are only here for a very short time, all of us. Our time is limited. And today is the day we have the opportunity to be pilgrims. Now is the time for us to be the kind of people who can build something that will last, something that will be a blessing for those who will come after us. May we be faithful to God, and may we be faithful to one another as we follow in His footsteps. And may God leave a great blessing behind us for this town, this county, this state, and this country. In Jesus' name we pray that. May it be true, Lord. May it be true. Amen. For our closing hymn, we have this wonderful hymn, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. And I invite you to stand as we sing that last closing hymn.